The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Notice, if you will, in verse 3, the Bible says, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Let's talk about this morning, if we can, on salvation pure and simple. Salvation pure and simple. I think that there is a great thing happening across America in that many people are going back to understanding the simplicity of the gospel. As I meet different people out and I talk to them about Jesus Christ, I come to find out that there has been somewhere along the pathway a tract that's been received or something like that. And there is, if you will please, I believe, a rising of the gospel around America, and may I say, it's about time. It's about time that churches get back to preaching the gospel. Amen. It's about time that believers get back to being able to share the gospel. I know many of our senior saints has even taken it upon them in the distributing of tracts. And I know that some of our ladies that are now nigh into their 80s that have come to me that have said, I passed out 700 tracts, 800 tracts, 900 tracts in the past 4 weeks or so, being able to tell people about Jesus Christ. It is so very important that we have a clear understanding. Now, man can mess it up. Man can certainly mess up that which is a clear presentation of the gospel if he goes by what he thinks rather than going by what the scriptures say. And so we understand that today, with our emphasis being thus so, we're going to emphasize in this message a clarity of the gospel so that a person can understand not only the importance of it, but be able to grasp it in their own lives and come to a point and a place where they see their need of Jesus Christ. That's why we have so many services going on today. And we normally have a lot of services going on today, but you'll see that there's a great crowd here today, both on the ground floor and in the balcony. And I thank you again for making that happen. But we have a lot of workers out today, even though we have people that are here and filling those spots as you came as a visitor. Many workers are scattered all over the church property right now and helping people to be able to understand the same truth that I'm about to give to you. There are three different type of philosophies when it comes to what we call salvation. Three different types of beliefs, if you will. I want to give you all three of those beliefs, and then I want to give you scripture because I think that you ought to base your belief on scripture, and I want to give you scripture whereby you understand each and every one of those beliefs. First off, we have a belief that's called works. And some people believe that you get to heaven by works. And so here's an example of works. People believe you get to heaven by perhaps doing a good deed, or they believe that you get to heaven by performing a certain task, or they believe that you get to heaven simply because of the fact you're performing that which is a religious deed, if you will, involved in the church or involved in their personal life, and they think because of that, they can certainly stake claims to that which is what we call salvation. But what does the Bible teach about that? Can a person get to heaven because of works? Can a person get to heaven because they've been baptized? Is it possible that a person can get to heaven because they take communion? Is it possible a person can get to heaven because they observe one of the seven sacraments? Is it possible that a person could get to heaven because they're a church member somewhere out there in an area in which they live? Is it possible a person can get to heaven because, after all, as I mentioned a moment ago, they are practicing good deeds in their life? Is there a possibility? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there is no flesh justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 28, the Bible says, Therefore, we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Over in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 16, the Bible says, knowing that man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Jesus Christ and not by works of the law, for by works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So here's a person that is trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to be good. They're trying to accomplish certain religious tasks. They're trying to be able to do things that in their own mind or in the religious institution is taught whereby they can justify themselves. You know, now the Bible teaches about why God gave us the Bible, why God gave us the law, if you will. We understand that the law cannot justify a person, but the law helps us to understand how we are not justified when we're lining up with the law. The law, if you will, or the Bible is a mirror. As you look in the mirror, you can be able to see, perhaps in your physical mirror, where you need to comb your hair, or maybe where you need to brush your teeth, or perhaps where you need to, as a lady, apply makeup or something like that. And so the Bible is just that way. As we come to church and we hear the Bible being opened and the Bible being explained and the Bible being taught and the Bible being preached, what takes place now is we have now a very clear understanding of what the Bible says. So the Bible, if you will, the law was given so that you and I can understand that we can do nothing within ourselves in order to merit salvation. Titus chapter 3 and in verse 5, makes it very clear. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Romans chapter 4 and in verse 6, the Bible says, even as David also ascribeth, it says, the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputed righteousness, listen to it now, without works. So a person can be justified without works. You mean to tell me, preacher, that a person can be justified without being baptized? Yes. You mean to tell me that a person can be justified without doing good works? Yes. You mean to tell me, preacher, you have the nerve to stand up and say that a person can be justified without taking communion? Yes, I do. But preacher, can a person certainly be justified without practicing or taking, if you would please, all seven of the sacraments? Most certainly. Can a person be justified without joining a church? Absolutely. You see, a person is not justified by the works of the law. A person is justified by their faith in Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Sean, come here, if you will, and help me with this one. And so we have another philosophy, if I may say that, at this point only, about this. The Bible teaches that there is that which is God's philosophy, and we also see that there is that which is man's philosophy. Many times man tries to do things in order to be able to gain. Many times a man would try to do things in order to be able to self-benefit. But here we understand, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, what God gave was not for his own profit. What God gave was for your profit. What God gave was for my profit. What man tries to do is for his own profit. So man tries to work and man tries to accomplish. And by the way, I'm glad that I live in America. There is no country like America on the face of God's green earth. I thank God for it. I know she's got her problems. And I know that we, being the people of America, are the ones that cause the problems. But can I tell you, I still thank God that I am an American. But yet, an American, understanding our work ethic, we try to be able to work to do things so that we can self-benefit. If we're not careful, that's going to carry over into the philosophy of our relationship that we should establish with Jesus Christ. Because we work and because we receive benefit, if we're not careful, when we go to church, we all of a sudden carry that same philosophy in church. We work because we think that we can self-benefit. But may I be very clear this morning in understanding, and may I be very clear this morning in my presentation of giving the gospel, we cannot work our way to heaven, but the Bible teaches it is by faith. What is this thing called faith? How is it that I could be able to be saved without taking the Lord's Supper? What is it that I can do to be saved without being baptized? How is it that a person can be saved without being a part of good works? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I said in my Sunday school class, perhaps as other adult teachers said in their Sunday school class, that if a person thought that they could be saved by being baptized or by keeping communion or by doing other religious deeds, then they would certainly have something to boast upon. Because after all, they had a part. But do you understand that when we don't have a part, but yet we come apart from that which is the philosophy of works, and we go to that which is the philosophy of faith in Jesus Christ, then he's the one that does it all. That's how come the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What does that mean, preacher? That means without baptism, a person can be justified. What does that mean? That means without communion, a person can be justified. What does that mean, preacher? Well, it means this. It means without the sacraments, a person can be justified. It means without church membership, a person can be justified. It means without tithing, a person can be justified. Romans chapter 3 and in verse 28, the Bible says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So a person can be justified by faith without the deeds of the law. As I hold my Bible, as I hold the Word of God, I hold it as a mirror. As we examine truth this morning, that truth becomes our mirror. We look into that mirror, and in that mirror, we begin to see what is right and what is wrong. It's almost like, if you will, please, a string or a rope that's held as a plumb. Being compared to it is either straight or not straight, simply because the plumb line does not lie. We understand the Bible does not lie. We understand that God is a God of truth. We understand that man may lie to us, but the Bible says, let man be a liar, but now understand, God is the one that is always true. A man may break his word to you. A preacher may break his word to you. A missionary may break his word to you. A Sunday school teacher may break his or her word to you. But can I say, on the authority of the Scriptures, God himself has never and will never break his word to you. So we understand that the conclusion of the matter is this, that man cannot justify himself by that which is the deeds of the law, but man is only justified by faith. James puts it this way in James chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. For it says in verse 23, for if ye be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, it is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24 says this, that he beholdeth himself and he goeth away, and straightway he forgetteth the matter of the man he was. You see, the Word of God is like that mirror. And that's how come it's good to be able to go to church, and I thank God you're here this morning, but it's good to be able to go to a church where you can hear a simple message of the gospel. You know why? Because sometimes, here's what we do. Maybe somebody will give us a gospel card or a gospel tract, and we'll walk away, and we'll look at that, and then we lay it down, and we forget all about it. You know, sometimes it's good to be able to go to church and be invited by a friend where an old-fashioned leather lung preacher will get up and say, this is what the Bible says. And by the way, the Bible is true. And so as we examine the Bible, we understand this, that there's the philosophy of all works. There's the philosophy this morning of faith, which is, by the way, a Bible definition of what a person needs to do to be able to come to that which is the Heavenly Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. But the Bible also teaches another type of philosophy that is vain, just like this philosophy is vain, and that is that which is both. You know, sometimes a person will begin to think that they have to do both. And I've met many people. I've met many people, stand right here and hold this. I've met many people that have said, well, you know, I'll tell you what, I have put my faith in Jesus Christ, but after all, I've got to work on keeping it, or I've got to work in order to obtain it too. And so here's what they do. They trust that which is Jesus Christ and baptism to take them to heaven. They trust that which is Jesus Christ and being good to take them to heaven. They trust that which is Jesus Christ and, if you would please, joining a church in order to take them to heaven. But may I make it clear this morning where Jesus said in John 14 and in verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So it's not that which is works and faith. No, Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say I'm one of the ways. So it's not, my dear beloved friend, Jesus Christ and being good. It's not Jesus Christ plus being baptized. It's not Jesus Christ plus being obedient. It's not Jesus Christ plus preservation. It's not Jesus Christ plus works. Now listen to this verse, Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. The Bible says, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Now listen to it very carefully. And it says, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if be of works, then it is of no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Right. So what he is saying is this. If I'm saying that I get saved by works, then there's no more grace where faith abides. If I'm saying that I get saved by faith where grace does abide, then it is no more that which is work. Right. He's making it very clear that it cannot be that which is both. He's saying, if it is that which is grace, then it has to be grace. If it is that which is works, then it has to be works. He said, but you cannot say, well, I received Jesus Christ and I was baptized, therefore I'm going to go to heaven. No, when Jesus, the very Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, speaks and he says, I am the way. Can I tell you, those that believe that you get saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ plus baptism is an insult, I tell you this morning, to that which is a heavenly Father. Because of the fact, it is not Jesus Christ. He didn't need somebody to help him to give eternal life. My Bible says, your Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Everlasting life is in the person. Who is the person? Jesus Christ. You cannot separate Jesus Christ and eternal life. They're inseparable. You can separate eternal life and baptism. You can separate eternal life and being good. You can separate eternal life and the communion. You can separate eternal life and being a church member. But can I tell you, according to the authority of God's word, you cannot separate Jesus Christ and eternal life. Because eternal life is given only by the one that possesses it, and the only one that possesses it is the one that died on Calvary. The only one that possesses it is the one that hung on the cross and shed his blood. The only one that possesses it is the one that went to the tomb and rose victorious over sin, death, and the devil. And can I tell you, there's only one risen Lord today. May I introduce you to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and by receiving Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, we can have eternal life, yes, by Christ and by Christ alone, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. Once a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, can I testify that he changes their life forever? I was very religious coming up. Coming up as a very religious young man, I occupied my rightful place as I was an altar boy, and I was there and I served beside my priest, and I did that for many years. And then one night as I was laying on my bed, I said, God, if there's more to it than this, if there is more to it than this, would you please show me just a simple little prayer? I said, God, if there's more to it than this, would you please show me? And that night, as it was in July and the window was up and the breeze was blowing into my bedroom, as I asked God that, I didn't know what he was about to do. But just a few days later, as I was walking around in the Reese's Carnival Ground in Westminster, Maryland, I was approached by a 16-year-old boy that asked me a question I'd never heard before in my entire life. But it was the question I'd yearned to be able to be asked. He came up to me. He was very kind. He was humble in his stature. And he said, I'd like to ask you a question. I was there with Wade Wagner, my best friend. We had dates that night. And we were walking around in the carnival ground and had a Coca-Cola in one hand. We had popcorn in the other hand. We were heading towards the Ferris wheel. And as we're heading towards the Ferris wheel, this young man stopped me dead in my tracks. He stood before me as a 16-year-old boy, and I was 18, and he said, I'd like to ask you a question. He was kind of timid. He was kind of shy. And he said, do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? And I said, I don't know that, but I think I might. And he said, why do you think that you might? I said, well, I'm a good person. See, this is where I lived. All my life, it was works. All my life coming up as a religious young man serving in a church, this is where it was all about. This is where I did abide. And then he said, well, you need to receive Jesus Christ. He started to show me the scripture. And the very first thing that hit my head as I moved from here to here. In my head, I thought, you know, that's, you know, you're making sense. So in my head, it was like, I need to receive Jesus Christ. But that wasn't going to change what I was doing because I thought that works was helping me to merit my way to heaven. As he continued to show me the scriptures, God began to reveal to me it wasn't that which was works, which was way over there for man's own benefit, and it was not that which was receiving Jesus Christ and works, which was me sharing the glory with God. No, it had to be me where I understood that I was a lost sinner undone. Had to be me where I understood that as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. That was me. As it is written, the Bible talks about that none of us are righteous. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That was me. Where the Bible says, where sin began with Adam in the Garden of Eden, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. That was me. Where the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That was me. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That was me. I didn't have my name written in the book of life. I didn't know where I was going to go. When the Bible says the wages of sin is death, I certainly must pay the debt that I owe. And according to the scriptures, as I stood there before God undone in my sin, I understood that the debt that I owed was death and hell, and I was going to die, and I was going to burn in hell. I understood it. It was right there. That was me. And that night, I took God at his word where the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, and I was certainly going to pay it. And dear friend, everybody that sits underneath the pitch of my voice, whether you're watching via Skype or via live stream, or whether you're sitting here right now, can I tell you, as a person that is undone without Christ, you have no hope. You'll not be able to go to heaven. Let it be clear that Christ, he's the only way. Amen. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but, oh, I love that but. Amen. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I walked away from the works and I said, that's not it. I walked away from the both and I said, that's not it. And I understood that Jesus Christ paid not only the ultimate sacrifice, but the only sacrifice that could ever be paid for the transgression of man. I understood that only through Jesus Christ could a person have forgiveness of sin. Amen. Was it by the works that I did? Wasn't in combination with the works that I would do. It was Christ and Christ alone. whereby the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift, the gift, the gift, the gift, the gift, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When I understood my need of Christ as a lost sinner undone, I bowed my heart. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Not by your works, not by the deeds, not by the baptism, not by the communion, not by being good. It's Christ and Christ alone. What happens when a person receives Christ? Thank you, be seated, fellas, and take the signs. What happens when a person receives Christ? I mean, is it really such a big deal? What happens when all of a sudden your name is written in the book of life? What happens? What changes when a person receives Christ? I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about relationship. I'm not talking about you just coming to a church service and have a preacher stand up and holler at you for 45 minutes. I'm not talking about, by the way, this used to be what old-time preaching was all about. Now you go to churches and they have 45 minutes worth of program and 10 minutes worth of preaching, and that's about it. But I believe that it is the preaching of the Bible that would change all humanity if humanity will let the preaching of the Bible take place. We have that which is the philosophy, wrong philosophy of all works. We have the philosophy, the wrong philosophy of both. We have that which is a Bible definition of what a person needs to do in order to be able to go to heaven, and that is put your faith and trust only in Jesus Christ as your Savior. What happens when a person does that? The Bible says this over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Listen to it now. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What happens when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior? God gives you a peace that no man could ever give you. Why is it that Andrew Jackson that was on the horse one day and all of a sudden he received a musket ball through his hand, and the medic came running out of the tent? Why is it that it was no big deal to him? The answer was in what he said to the medic. He said, a saved man fears no death. Isn't it true? You know, when a person is saved, they have a peace that only God can give. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible says, much more being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible says, knowing that man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ, not by works of the law, for the works of the law, no flesh is justified. So what happens? Number one, when I get saved, I'm justified before God. I'm justified before God. That's just as though I had never sinned. I am justified before God. Statement number two, I'm forgiven by God. When I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, that comes with a barrel full of forgiveness that is given by the very mercies and the graces of God. Listen to it. Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, the Bible says, and whosoever believeth in him shall receive, it says, remission of sins. Listen to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins. So what happens when I receive Jesus? He justifies me. What happens when I receive Jesus? He forgives me. Love this. What happens when I receive Jesus? He blots out my sin. He blots out my sin. He doesn't see me as a sinner undone. He sees me as one of his children now. Listen to it. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3 and in verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out. It says, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So when I receive him, he blots out my sin. You ready? Last one. He forgets my sin. He forgets my sin. Stand up, Brother Craig, if you will, and you're going to play the role of the Lord Jesus. And so I come to you, and by the way, don't get excited. Jesus does not look this way. But watch this, if you will, okay? And so here I am. I come to him as a sinner. You ready? I come to him as a sinner. Now watch this. And as I come as a sinner, I ask Jesus Christ to save me, to become my Savior, forgive me my sin, be my Savior. And when he saves me, I don't have to do that over and over again. See, once I'm born into the family, I'm born in the family once forevermore. That's why your Bible says in the book of John chapter 3, he says you must be born again. Listen to it very carefully. He did not say that you must be born again and again and again. It's not a perpetual state of being. Once I'm birthed into the family of God, if my children came back, if let's reverse and give a role play here. Let's say that he's one of my sons. Okay? And he comes to me and he says to me, he says, Dad, and now, how old are you, Kevin? 41. Wow. Okay? And so, that's good. Amen. He says, how old are you? None of your business. Okay? And I'm 55, but now wait a minute, watch this. Okay, and so all of a sudden he comes to me, and he says, Dad, he says, Mom, he says, you know, I tell you what, I want to be birthed all over again. And I look at him like a madman. You know why? He's a madman. That's why I look at him that way. Well, watch this, though, okay? That's impossible. It is just so with our God. See, when you come to him and you ask him to be your Savior, you're birthed into the family of God. By the way, if he's my son, he's going to be my son whether he feels like he's my son or not. He's going to be my son whether we have good relationship or not. He's still my son. You see? And so when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, I am birthed into the family of God. He that believeth on him is not condemned because he hath believed already. Thank you. Be seated, if you will. So what happens? So he blots out my sin. He forgets my sin. Over in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, the Bible says, I will remember, he says, listen to it, I will not remember thy sins. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, the Bible says, I will remember their sin no more. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, the Bible says, I will remember their sin no more. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, I will remember their sin no more. So when I come to him, stand if you will, I come to him, receive him as Savior. I don't need to receive him over and over and over again. Or I don't need to come and say, dear God, please come in, please forgive me of my sin. And Jesus, I ask you to be my Savior today, and I trust you and you only to be my Savior. And then I come back tomorrow and say, I pray that you come in my heart and be my Savior. God is going to, no, you don't have to do that over and over again. No, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Amen. When I come to him as a child of God, let me give you, you say, well, yeah, I'm going to sin. So what do I do with that sin? Here's what you do. You go to that which is God through Jesus Christ, and you say, dear God, and of course, you're one of his children now, those that's received Christ. God, please forgive me of this sin. And he forgives that. And the good thing about that is he blots that out. He doesn't remember it again. Don't you wish all adults were that way? Don't you wish your wife, don't you wish your wife was that way? Don't you wish your husband was that way? Don't you wish that your parents was that way? Don't you wish that your children was that way? I'm saying this, thank you, be seated. I'm saying this, that there are benefits to receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, just because you have a child, that doesn't mean that that child is always going to be perfect. But can I tell you, that child is always going to be your child. You see, when I birthed into the family of God and I received Jesus Christ, I'm not saying I've always been a perfect son, if you would please, for my heavenly Father, but it doesn't change the stature of the place that I now hold as being one of his children. But my question this morning is, are you one of his children? What are you trusting this morning? Are you trusting that which is works? If so, you're not one of his children. Are you trusting that which is both? If so, you don't get any of those benefits. You're not one of his children. Are you trusting that which is the Bible definition that is paired with that which is salvation and the only way of salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ? Have you truly been saved? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.